Well, we're still in 1 Timothy, and we're looking at chapter 4. We're going to study verse 6 through 16 today. Last week, we saw the apostle warn the church that they would be faced with people from the midst of them falling away from the faith. It's a really troubling thing to have to face. It's a grievous thing to have to face. The apostle warned the church that there would be those who are under the influence of demonic teaching that would end up leading people astray, and people would be deceived, and it was a heartbreaking sermon to have to preach. We pick up today with Paul's thought there in chapter 4, where he has said to put these things, reminding the church that they're the pillar and the buttress of the truth, that they need to be proclaiming the truth, that the congregation and the ministers there need to keep a watch out over one another, to set those things before the congregation. And here, this morning, what we see is some of what the expectations that God has upon ministers of the gospel, the teaching elders in the church. Timothy, as a kind of an interim pastor in the church of Ephesus, the apostle Paul has instructions for Timothy on how they should conduct themselves in the household of faith and what he should be up to and what he should be devoting himself to. And so this passage of scripture that we're going to read has a lot of weight to it, in the sense that when a pastor comes to a passage like this, you know, his antennas go up and he looks closely at a passage like this, because this is talking about the responsibility of the elders of the church. But also, this is something that's relevant for all of us as Christians, because the apostle wants Timothy to be an example. Timothy to be an example of life and faith and truth. And so that's where we're picking up, is his instructions to Timothy in how he should conduct himself as a minister. So if you're able, why don't you stand with me one more time for the reading of God's word. We're going to read verse 6 through 16. These are God's words. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together one more time. And so, Father, we confess that we need your help. I need your help. So I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts here will please you and be pleasing to you. lodge your truths deep within us. Shape and fashion us in your likeness. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Well, my colorful manuscript's back again for week number two. Like I said last week, I'm trying something out a little different. And I've got all my notes on one page instead of like multiple pages, and I'm hoping that, I don't know, maybe that'll help me to make some progress in the right direction. I'm going to give this a try for a couple weeks. It feels weird, and so if I'm off or whatever, part of the problem might be that I'm just like a creature of habit, and I'm breaking a habit here, and it throws me off a little bit. But anyways, bear with me as we work through these verses here. This passage, other than the accounts of Jesus' ministry, is one of those passages that helped to shape me as a young man. Well, the whole of the pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, all, when I was early in my 20s, began really reading through these pastoral epistles, began to really pour myself over them. And it was verses like this, passages like this, that began to lodge themselves within my soul, my heart, my sense of calling, my direction in life, the vision that I had as a person. I remember talking to one college professor about my process and saying, you know, I'm just all about reading these pastoral epistles. And even back at that time, I was probably 20 years old, the professor said, well, maybe, Nate, God's calling you to be a pastor. So this passage, along with the Gospels themselves, have really shaped my vision and my thoughts about being a pastor. Even Paul's command here in the toward the end of his instruction here, he says, devote yourself. Until I come, devote yourself to what? The public reading of Scripture. If you've been around me long enough, you know that that's something that I really like having us do. Not just the passage for the sermon, but other passages of Scripture to help us grow as biblically literate Christians. Christians who are shaped by the Word. And what we're doing lately is picking passages of Scripture that help add to the sermon, and thus we read from Ezra, and we read from the response of the Jews to Jesus' sermon on the Mount this morning. Now, as I said, the apostle has warned Timothy that demonic teaching will influence people, and those influencers they'll peddle their silly myths, their godless myths. The NIV calls them old wives' tales. And that will lead to some going astray, and some will even commit apostasy. They will forsake Christ and His church and cease joining the people of God in worship, and even potentially forsake the very name of Christ. And so the apostle's warning Timothy to not be given to these silly myths. And Paul starts off the epistle here talking about these folks, these people who devote themselves to silly myths. And they think that they know the Word of God, but they don't know what they're talking about. Myths and endless genealogies. And Paul picks back up on that and saying that Timothy should shun these types of snares, so avoid them, to not give them the time of day. They will lead you down the wrong path. Timothy himself is not immune to stumbling as a minister of the gospel. And so the apostle's writing to him to coach him and to help him be thinking about the ingredients of ministry that will help to set him on the right path, keeping the good habits as a minister in the church. The church was meant to be a pillar and buttress of the truth. We saw that in chapter 3, verse 15. And Timothy is to be the leader, along with the other elders, in spearheading the truth of God being a fortress, as the church becomes a fortress in the truth. And Timothy's not immune from things like youthful lusts. Paul tells him to avoid those things. Paul recognizes that critics are probably criticizing or, you know, critical of his youthfulness, being a guy who's probably in his 30s. He could lose sight of his calling, and all of the words that he puts here in these verses are meant to help Timothy not to get off track and be focused on what the main thing is in his ministry. And so the whispers of the demonic teaching that surrounds him and bombards him would not get lodged within his soul. Paul tells Timothy to be a man who's committed to the right things. There is the possibility that, like a king swayed by malevolent whispering advisors, Timothy could be lured away from his duties. I'm thinking of Wormtongue and King Theoden in The Lord of the Rings there. So Timothy, at the risk of drifting himself, Paul recognizing the frailty of our human flesh, even as a leader, helps him to stay focused on the things that might threaten his call or neglect his call as a minister there in the Church of Ephesus. And this is, of course, not just something that's locked in time back in the early church or back 2,000 years ago, but this is a thing that we all have to face, and pastors and elders and ministry leaders have to face, and whole congregations need to be mindful of, that there are key ingredients in ministry, key things that we should be devoting ourselves to. There's all sorts of, you know, tertiary things and good things that become, that dwarf the most important things. And so Paul is working toward helping Timothy and us to be focused on the most important things in ministry. And there are three themes that are present here in this passage, in these verses, that I want to point out this morning. And they're similar themes to the ones that we saw in Ezra. The Apostle Paul is a man who bleeds the Bible, and he probably maybe even has Ezra in mind and Ezra's devotion as he writes these verses. These themes that are similar to Ezra's committing himself to the reformation of Israel, their devotion to the Lord. What did Ezra devote himself to? Studying the Word of God, doing the Word of God, and teaching the Word of God. And you see those very things here in Paul's words to Timothy. Timothy is himself working toward renewal and reformation in Ephesus. They had been sidetracked, and Timothy's there to help get them back on track. And so if Timothy is to succeed in making the truth, to succeed in ministry, he must make the truth, make his character, make his calling priorities in the ministry that he has there, lest he goes astray in ministry and doesn't allow and potentially frustrates the truth of the Word of God being a pillar and buttress there in the congregation. And so Paul's fortifying Timothy to fortify the church. And we, of course, need to hear these things as well, because Paul's charge to Timothy is concerned with the household of faith. And I believe these concerns translate into our time. These are a template for church leaders. They're a template for congregation. The things that we need to prioritize, the growing in the Word of God, growing in godly character, growing faithful in our callings. And of course, these verses then invite all of us to be praying for those in leadership in the church. So let's focus on these three things that Timothy was to make: progress in the truth, progress in his personal character, and progress in his calling. The first one being progress in truth. We see the apostle say to him in verse 6 that he is to train himself or to be nourished in the words of faith. Read with me again verse 6. It says, if you put these things before the brothers, and I believe that's a reference back to what he's just said in the verses before, if you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of faith and of the good doctrine. Now, the word train comes up in the English, if you're looking at the ESV, it comes up here a couple times. It says, being trained in verse 6, and then down in verse 7 says, rather train yourself for godliness. In the Greek, it's two words, and so if you're looking at the NIV, it says, being nourished in the words of the faith. And then it'll say, train yourself for godliness. In verse 7, where it says train, that's the Greek word there is the word where we get gymnasium from, right? So it's the Greek word there where we talk, you know, when we talk about physical training, the work of an athlete. Here in verse 6, Paul's saying that Timothy is to be trained, or you could say nourished, in the words of truth. And I think they're both helpful to be thinking about, that Timothy was to be a man who was shaped by the words of faith, nourished by the words of faith, ingesting the words of faith, that they may build up and nourish his mind, his body, his heart, the good doctrine, the good teaching that he has followed. What has he been teaching? Well, he's been hearing about, he's heard from the apostles, the other apostles himself, the mystery of the gospel that he is now passing on to the next generation, to Gentiles, where he is. And Timothy himself is to be one who is rooted, ingesting the words of God. Probably not just the gospel of Christ, the mystery of the gospel, but also even the Old Testament texts that he's grown up studying, and that is the teaching of the church and his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. This was not optional for Timothy. This is an essential component of his calling as a pastor, an essential component of his ministry is to be one who is, in an ongoing way, being trained in the words of faith and the good doctrine that he has followed, and then he will continue to follow. And so the apostle says to him, to have nothing to do with the reverend silly myths, but be rather train yourself for godliness, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way. The apostle returns to this theme in his follow-up letter to Timothy as well. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the apostle says to Timothy, he says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. He's to be a worker in the words of God. So this is, of course, one of those texts that helps pastors and the rest of the elders of the church be thinking about what their calling is and thinking about what they're supposed to be doing. And that is that, you know, he's warned early on in the book that they teach the Word of God, they teach the law of God and genealogies and all this stuff, but they don't know what they're talking about. And the very opposite should be happening. Those who understand the Word of God are teaching the Word of God. In other words, the goal when you hire a pastor or something like that is not just to get somebody who's a skilled orator, you know, who's good at public speaking. That's an important task that they have. Not just to be like a CEO type or like, you know, the gift of leadership is important, but it's not the only thing. Those who serve in ministry are to be marked by a deep inward digestion of the Word of God, plummeting the mystery of the gospel, nourished by the Old Testament promises of the Messiah, committed to the apostolic teaching, Our primary mark as elders in the church is not as marketers or businessmen, but those who are deeply shaped by the Word of God in mind and in heart. Think of the judgment of the Jews upon the apostles when they were persecuting the apostles. It says that they were unschooled, they were ordinary, but they had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. That's what you want. When you call a man to be a pastor or an elder, you want a man who has been with Jesus, who has saturated his mind and his heart with the mind of God and in the presence of God as he studies. And of course, all of us need the Word of God. Not just pastors, not just elders, all of us need to be those who have digested and been nourished and trained in the Word of God. The leaders are the ones who are primarily focused on teaching and relaying what's true, but it's for the benefit of the whole congregation, so that parents can be blessed in their parenting by being shaped by the Word of God, so that kids can be shaped by the Word of God, so that employers and employees can be shaped by the Word of God, guided by the truth of Christ in every area of life, students being renewed in their minds, testing the spirits that they're taught. We're all called to visibly grow in the truth of Christ. And so Paul reminds Timothy here that he is to be one who is trained in the words of faith and in the good doctrine that he had followed. Now we're going to return to why that's so important in a second. But in the meantime, I want you to see that Timothy is not just to make progress in the truth, but he is to make progress in his character. Character is a huge part of Paul, the attention that Paul gives to Timothy here. He is to be trained not just in what's true, but in godliness itself. That the truth of Christ is to come out of his fingertips, come out in his actions, come from his heart and his head into his habits, the habits of his life, his everyday. And so he's to train himself for godliness. Paul recognizes the goodness of bodily training here, but he says that even above that, training and being like the Lord is far more important than the benefits of bodily training. Why? Because it benefits us in this life like bodily training, but training in godliness has an impact in our future as well. Training and being nourished by the gospel and walking in light of the gospel is to be a main focus of the ministry of a pastor. He himself, Paul says down in verse 16, to keep close watch on yourself and your teaching. Is to keep a close watch on his character, on his heart, and his attitude. It says in verse 11, don't let anyone, or verse 12, don't let no one despise you for your youth, but be what? An example. Set the believers an example in speech and conduct and love and faith and in purity. And so the apostle wants Timothy to not just be someone who cares about knowing what's true, but doing what's true. Be someone who's making progress that's visible even in the truth. It's noticeable. He says in verse 15, practice yourself in these things, immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. And so Timothy is to make progress in his character. He's meant to make progress in his understanding of the Word of God. And this, of course, sets us up as elders and deacons and leaders wherever we are to be those who keep a close watch on ourselves. To not be like, you know, the type that think that that all that matters is one of these three things, but, you know, like the truth or the calling, but devotion to the Lord and being holy and set apart by Him, and our character being being an important aspect of who we are. This is all in view here. And teaching elders and elders who help to lead the church, aspiring leaders, need to keep this passage close at heart. Need to keep this passage close at heart. Our goal is to grow in godliness, being trained in Christ and His conduct, His love, His speech, and in purity. And we'll see actually more of this as we progress through this passage, this book of the Bible. The apostle wants the character of Christ to shine forth through Timothy. And so I want to invite you as church members and those who are, belong to the body of Christ to be in prayer. Pray for your leaders to make progress in their sanctification. Pray for us that we will grow in the Lord, that we'll grow in holiness, that we'll grow in character, because we're supposed to be examples to the whole congregation, the whole fellowship of people. And of course, we're all to grow too. We're all to grow. Timothy's example in conduct and speech and love wasn't just kind of self-centered, but it was for the sake of others, to be an example, to be one who could be watched and imitated. And so we're all called here to pursue character that reflects the gospel, that reflects the Word of God, that reflects Christ. Now, as we weekly pray and confess our sins to the Lord, we recognize that none of us here are perfect in any of these things. Right? None of us here are perfect in our character, in our speech or our conduct, but we're to strive to be examples. You know, years ago, someone who I love dearly, their character shone forth and through in their work relationship with their boss. When their boss, who was kind of a character, pointed out to her it was doing, I think, like a monthly or yearly review, and said to her, "Your character is a big deal around here." And that's the way it should be, is that all of us grow in the Lord and grow in holiness, grow in our conduct, and whether it's our place of work, whether it's in the church, whether it's wherever it is, that our commitment to character and our demonstrating that we're making progress in our character is something that other people can notice. And I hope that's true of me, and I hope that's true of you, that we are making progress in our character before the Lord. Lastly, Paul says that Timothy is to grow in his calling. He's to make progress in his calling. Paul's goal for Timothy was to make progress as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In verse 6, where the apostle Paul says, it tells him to be setting these things before him. Notice the telos. Notice the goal that Paul has for Timothy, and that is that he would be a good servant of Christ Jesus. A good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. That's the goal. To be a good servant. That's the ambition. That's what matters most. What matters more than anything in the life of someone who serves Christ and His kingdom is that he or she is making progress in their calling, wherever it is. Primarily here, Paul has Timothy and his progress as a pastor in view, that he would be, you know, that Timothy would hear someday, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Part of his service here is to warn. To warn about the demonic teaching that would lead some people astray. But it's also for him to make progress in his calling. And the word good servant here is the word for deacon. It's in verse 6. When it's talking about making good progress, it's the word diakonos there. And it's used probably more in a, you know, Timothy's a more of a, he's in, serving as an elder or a pastor. But that doesn't mean elder and pastors don't serve. It's just they have a certain type of service that they do in the church. To shepherd, to oversee, to lead, to be men who are growing wisdom and can share it, to teach, to be examples. They serve by doing those things, committing themselves to those things. And Paul says that Timothy is to be immersed in these things. He says that he is to be immersed in the work that he has. Now, he says something interesting here in verse 14. He says, don't neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. You see, Paul is focused on Timothy's calling here, which I believe was as the elders put their hands on him and prayed for him, and somebody, it sounds like, prophesied over him, and you know, the Lord, the Holy Spirit gave gifts to the church, apostles and evangelists and prophets and pastors and teachers. And I believe that what Paul's talking about here is Timothy's gift of being the teaching elder pastor in Ephesus. And why do I say that? Well, because you notice here that over and over again, Paul's emphasis is on Timothy's teaching. Over and over again, he gets into that he should be one who is able to teach. He's teaching good doctrine, setting things in front of the congregation. It says in verse 11 that he is to command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth. He says down in verse 16, keep a close watch on yourself, your character, and, he says, the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so you will save both yourself and your hearers. You see, Timothy needed to persist in his calling of being the teaching elder in the church. He would have to raise up other elders. He would have to teach the Bible in order to raise up those who could teach the Bible. You see this later on in Paul's second letter to Timothy, where he says, the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, teach them to reliable men who will be able to teach others. And you see four generations of those who have been taught there in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And so Timothy is to not neglect this calling, but to not neglect the gift that he has as a teacher in the church, but to be given over to this, to be immersed in it, to be immersed in the shepherding work of the church. So that in the kind of way that his progress is noticeable in these things. And notice the vital importance that it has here. In verse 16 it says, keep a watch on yourself and on the teaching, persisting in this, for by doing so you will save both yourself and your hearers. In other words, there's a lot on the line. There's a lot on the line in Timothy's life and the ministry that he has in Ephesus, as well as the other elders and leaders there. And so he says, keep a close watch on yourself and on your teaching. Persevere. Persist. There's a saving work that you're up to. And so this should shape us as a congregation, of course, as well, that we should understand the main priorities of pastors and elders to be those who are committed to these things, to be immersed in them, to be those who are, you know, like Dick getting up here Dick, you shouldn't have to get up here, but you want to. You've immersed yourself in the ministry of this church. You love it. And your progress is noticeable. And so I just invite you again to pray for us and support us in the teaching ministry of the church, the calling that we have as elders. As we go to our congregational meeting today, we'll consider some of these things and be praying about some of these things. But we also, I also want to encourage all of you to be wherever you're called, whatever you're called to be immersed there as well. Whatever your calling is, whatever your vocation is, whatever God has called you to be one who sets yourself and is an example of one who's devoted to the service of Christ and His kingdom, wherever it is, whatever your calling is. To keep a watch on yourself and to persist in your calling, because it has a great impact on the people and the world around you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the time and the Bible that we've spent this morning. We ask you, Lord, that you will indeed nourish us as a body from one Sunday to the next, that we'll grow in what's true, grow in our character, and grow in our calling. We ask you for forgiveness where we've been negligent or gotten distracted by the entertainment of the world, whatever it is, whether leading us astray in some way or shape. We ask you for your forgiveness, and we ask you for help. We ask you for help to help us to make progress as individuals, as leaders, as a congregation. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.